Welcome to the Art of Slowing Down to Quantum Leap podcast that I created especially for conscious introvert entrepreneurs. And if you desire to grow and quantum scale without the hustle and are ready to discover the missing pieces to effortlessly running a soul-aligned business, then this is for you. And I'm your host, Annalena Fuchs, a human design and energetic alignment coach. And my mission with this podcast is to provide you with a shortcut to your most aligned path to success and financial freedom using a powerful combination of human design, science, and spirituality. And I myself have shifted from working 9 to 5 to now enjoying the freedom of creating things on my own terms. And I want to help you do the same. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Art of Slowing Down podcast. It's Annalena here, your host. And today it's just going to be me. It's a solo episode. And it's actually quite interesting because I seem to have these phases where I have conversations with other people and I get a lot of requests to be on my podcast, or I intuitively feel to reach out to beautiful humans, and then I get to record a bunch, right? So I have like 5, 6, 7 episodes recorded, and then it kind of slows down and I'm like, okay. And I really just surrender into that. And then I find myself, okay, I think the universe is asking me to record something all by myself. And I have been enjoying it because it also keeps this podcast for me like really fresh, and there's always like something new happening. So I really like it. And I had no idea. I was like, okay, what am I going to talk about today? And then what happened this week or last week was that we saw on Netflix, and I'm a person, I barely ever watch TV, to be honest. I'm very selective. And one of the things I have been really enjoying is some documentaries about people that, you know, I have known growing up, I maybe was a fan of, or just, you know, celebrities and that sort of thing. So now there's a new documentary about Robbie Williams, and me growing up in Germany, he was a really freaking big deal. And I was a big fan of his. I thought he's amazing. I loved his music. I wasn't that much into Take That. Take That was like a boy band in the, well, I guess in the 90s. I don't know exactly the dates. And there were like these 5 British boys, and they were like freaking huge, especially in the UK. That's where they're from. But then eventually he did his solo career, and that's when I really liked him. I listened to his music. I even got to see a concert live. I think it was in 2003 in Mannheim, if I remember correctly, with a friend of mine at the time. And I saw him live, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And I haven't seen many concerts. I think it was Eros Ramazzotti. I saw him, I think, 3 times, and then Robbie Williams. And I think that was almost it in terms of concerts that I have seen in my life. So when I saw on Netflix that he's having a documentary now, I was like, of course, I'm going to watch it. And I binge watched it. It was really cool. And then, of course, I always right away like, oh my God, I need to check the human design and kind of see, because there's so many beautiful lessons in this documentary. And I think that, so especially celebrities, right? They get such a bad rap, and the paparazzi and the media is constantly just picking on them and criticizing what they may be doing wrong. And I can only imagine how awful this feels, because I know I'm a coach, right? And I put myself out there on the world wide web. And one of the biggest things for us humans is a fear of rejection, or that people are going to disagree with us, or they're going to point fingers at us, right? And words can be so painful. So this, of course, is also something that he talked a lot about in this documentary. And I'm just going to pull up his human design chart. I'm also going to be looking at the gene keys. And then, yeah, we'll take it away. I'm just going to share some of my thoughts about it. Also, I took some notes because my undefined head in Ajna sometimes goes blank. And as I was watching the documentary, it was just quite beautiful of how much wisdom there was. And I think sometimes we watch something, but there are so many learning lessons for all of us from his life, from his story, that I felt really compelled to share through telling my story about it. While I'm also very thankful to Robbie Williams for everything that he has done, and also that he has given us this gift of this beautiful documentary. So I will be sharing my screen now. And okay, so if you're listening to this on the podcast, obviously you're just listening, and there will be a link below to also watch this on YouTube. But I will also explain to kind of let you know how the chart looks like, what kind of type he is. So if you're more well-versed with human design, you can also follow along without even seeing the slides. So I think that's the first time I'm doing this way. Always the first time, right? So I will now share the screen in a big way. Okay, so here we have him, Robbie Williams. So he's a 1-3 profile, and he's a projector type, emotional. Of course, given that the birth information that we have online, the source is here, Genetic Matrix, they have a shot of him there. And the incarnation cross is the right angle cross of contagion. So here we have his chart. So he has the head center undefined, and then he has the ajna and the throat center defined through the 2343 channel, which we often call this like freak or genius channel, right? And then he also has the root center and the emotional solar plexus defined through the 4130 channel. And it's really interesting because he had a phase, right? So he was first with Take That, this boy band, and he was very young, right? And I think oftentimes when we have celebrities that become famous at a very young age, it's like you don't even have space and time to really grow up and become an adult. And all of a sudden you have to be an adult, but you still want to play and be goofy, right? So I think that's not an easy thing. And so there was a lot of, and you will see this in this documentary if you ever get to watch it, definitely recommend it. There was a lot of this energy of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right? And that's actually what this channel, the 4130, like we sometimes give it that nickname. And it's very interesting that also Elvis Presley, which most of us probably know his story, also had this same channel. I think for Elvis Presley, he's a generator, I believe, emotional. But as he has two channels in his chart, and also one of them is this channel. So it's also interesting, right? Because there's definitely a lot of similarities to their personalities, right? With being a rock star and being heavily influenced by drugs, by alcohol, and on all these things, right? So that was the first thing. And so with Robbie Williams, he also has this gate 30 in his conscious son, right? So that's one of the biggest energies in his chart. And so gate 30 is all about desire. And then it connects to the 41, the gate of, we call it fantasy or imagination. And it's there's a lot of pressure, right? You have these big fantasies and there's always this desire for more. I want more and more and more, right? And what I find interesting, and maybe this is also why I felt so called to talk about this. So in the gene keys, we have these codon rings, and the gate 13 and the gate 30, they are create one of the codon rings. And I'm not going to go into depth of this, but I actually learned about my gate 13 more through this gene key or gate 30, because if I constantly have all these desires, right? I want more, I want more, I want to have more money, I want to have more stuff, I want to be even more famous, or whatever the desire is, right? It's like, it's never, ever, it's enough. Then it's so hard for me to listen to my heart, because gate 13 is all about listening first and foremost to my own heart, and also to only listen to others. I have to really learn how to listen to myself first. And we live in a world, right, where it's more stuff and it's never enough. And okay, now you did this amazing thing and you were successful. What is next? There's so much pressure, right? And it's also interesting because the gate 30, it connects to the gate 41, which is a pressure gate coming off the root center. So there's a lot of pressure, always like, what's next? And I think it can become addictive. And I think we see this in society today, that we really fall a lot into this. And there are many times in the documentary where Robbie Williams actually, I could really sense this energy. And I mean, your conscious son, like almost everything in your chart gets filtered through this energy, right? This is the strongest energy in a way in your chart. And for him, it's in a one line. He's a 1-3 profile. So it's highly individual about his own personal experience. And I think, so at some point, I think he mentioned somewhere, well, you know, you did this amazing thing. And then right away, they were like, okay, what's next, right? You have one amazing hit, and then there's the pressure to make the other one. And then for him, I think in terms of love relationships, he mentioned at some point that he kind of had this idea, well, I'm just not going to be made. I'm not made for relationships in some way, because I was getting into one romantic relationship and then I already saw somebody else and I was wondering what's better there. So he could never really settle with anything there. But as we know, if you know, at some point he met his now wife and everything changed for him. But for the longest time, it was always like, what's next? What's the next desire? And couldn't really have any kind of sustainable relationships for quite some long time. So then he's a, I said already, he's a 1-3 profile, right? So being a 3-line is all of this experimental energy. It can be very wild. It's like, we like to be at the party, right? And I think we can definitely see that in him. And one of the big things is also, you know, the 3-line, the big lesson is always like, nothing is ever a failure, right? And I think, I mean, Robbie Williams is so self-expressive in such a beautiful way. I invited to even check out his Instagram. I think it's very inspirational how even today he's so blunt. He's just sharing what's on his mind, and it's a little bit provocative, but it's just his truth. And I think we just need more of this in this world, right? And it's so interesting that if you're going to ask, like, okay, what is his purpose from the Gene Keys perspective? So I'm going to flip the slides now. He actually has the purpose Gene Key is that Gene Key 8 or Gate 8, which in the human design chart is his unconscious earth. And that's like who you're being. And in the Gene Keys, it even says like your purpose is to be you. Right. And this whole thing about what's your purpose is always so like, okay, what job should I have? What should I do? And da 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 da. And I always say to people, well, really for all of us, your purpose is you being your most authentic self, right? And we learn this through people that are like radically embodying this. And I think Robbie Williams is really doing that in such a beautiful way, because he doesn't give a damn or doesn't give an F. And he says that a lot. And of course, we can always argue, like maybe says it too much. But I think we have learned to shuffle down so much how we really feel, what we're thinking, that we're trying to conform to please others and all these kind of things. And I think he's just so embodying his purpose by being his most authentic self. Because I mean, if there is one person in the world where I could say like, wow, he's just really being himself, I would say it's him. And I'm sure there's many others, but because the shadow is this mediocrity, right? Where you compromise. And that's the radiance is that gate 14 or Jinky 14, and they play together. So when he's compromising who he really is, he's in his shadow, right? He's not probably well, he feels ungrounded, because the purpose Jinky is that's your earth energy in your body. And then it's in the line 3, which is so beautiful. It's about movement, right? And I mean, we can see him, how he's jumping on the stage, he's moving around, and it's just such a bundle of life and joy with all of that. So, and another thing that I also find so beautiful is that he may have said things or done things where people criticize him. And I think we all do that. We all humans, right? We don't always get it right. And what is right anyways? And no matter what we do, no matter what we say, there are people that don't like it. And, you know, and so there's one post that I saw actually on his Instagram, and I think I took a note here. Yeah, I wrote it down. So he wrote there, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words could make me kill myself. So that is a very strong statement, right? But I think in today's society, we have to be so careful, right? Because it's so easy to talk bad about other people. And I truly believe that we do that often because we don't have the courage to look at ourselves, right? It's so easy to project our sadness, our anger, our lack of self-love, and all these things onto other people. So we don't feel our own inadequacy or own pain in some way, right? So that's why I feel like he is being so real. He's being so raw. He's being so incredibly honest, right? And I think it's very, 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 very inspiring. And it's really a reminder for all of us that we have to be really careful with our words, you know, especially when it comes to other people. Like, yeah, we may get angry, we may get mad and all these things. And some of you that may know me, I love this tapping, you know, where you tap on these different EFT tapping points. And I have this sometimes, you know, I get pissed, I get mad, I get triggered. But instead of letting it out on the person that may have triggered that, which I have learned over the years, now that's actually a gift because it just shows that there's a wound within myself. And then I learned to process that, but I'm not letting it out or lashing it out on people because, as we know, that usually creates like a ripple of more anger, of even more projection, and all these kind of things, right? So, again, it's this really, really big reminder for all of us that we want to be very, very cautious with what we say about, you know, other people. And of course, it's also okay to get mad and to get pissed and things like that. But, you know, when it's about making another person feel like they're worthless or all these kind of things, that can hurt people so much more, right, than like a little kick in the butt. So that's what I'm talking about, is like vulnerability and honesty, right, about he really feels. And then also, not only has he the 30.1 in his conscious sun, it's also his conscious Jupiter. So it's his pearl. And the pearl is all about prosperity and financial blessings. And he has that same energy there, right? So this whole concept of desire is actually, it's such a big theme for him in his life. And it is also important for him to go for desires, but not from a place of avoiding how he feels, right? And avoiding how, because it's a deeply, deeply emotional energy, the 30, right? Especially when it comes to expectations. Like, we can have like these amazing expectations, we are so excited, and then something turns out a different way. It puts us in this really low, melancholic kind of state. And the other thing with such a deeply emotional energy coming off the solar plexus, it's super creative energy, highly creative. And he is highly creative, right? So he has written a lot of amazing songs. And you will see this in the documentary. These songs always come out of what he's experiencing in his life, right? So that's his way of processing how he feels. And so what a beautiful way is that. And he has this 2343 channel, right? Which is this energy where we can perceive a person as a freaking genius or also like a freak. And of course, when it comes to like this energy, when it comes to giving advice to people, it's really best received in response when people recognize you, when they see you, and they may ask you for something. But, you know, you also have your ideas and your opinions, and you're constantly channeling this wisdom, and it has to be expressed. This energy needs to talk, right? Anytime I see somebody that has the Ajna defined to the throat in particular, you need to talk. You need to actually have a sounding board and just get all of your thoughts out. So I kind of feel like he's doing that today, with his Instagram, for example, and it's such a beautiful way. He's just unfilteredly saying what he thinks and how he feels. And you know, there are people that are gonna love it, like me. And then there are people that think it's totally crazy or it's freaky, right? And they're not the right people for him. And that's okay. Like, we're not here to share our thoughts, our truth, to make other people happy, right? We share how we feel because that's our truth. And I truly believe that the only thing that can ever set us free is our truth. And I feel that even though he has gone through such a dark phase, so in the documentary, so he was super famous, right? Especially in the UK and where I'm from in Germany. I mean, he was freaking huge. And then for some reason in the United States, he wasn't taking off at all. And in the beginning, it was kind of like, why is it not happening here? But in the end, it turned out the biggest blessing for him because he could actually live in the United States without being harassed, right? Because, I mean, if you're a celebrity and just if you go in a restaurant and then there's people like surrounding you, I mean, I can only imagine it's not easy to go anywhere. And if you have no privacy whatsoever, I mean, we see this also in the UK with the royal family. So take that. And Robbie Williams was like that. I mean, there were concerts with like 80,000 people in front of you. And I mean, especially all the ladies like going ballistic and like, oh my God, Robbie, you know? So it's not an easy path, right? And that's not, did he chose that? I mean, that was his purpose, obviously, right? He also says that he's dyslexic and I think he dropped out of school. I don't know all the details. But if you look at from an academic kind of thing, it's like, oh yeah, there's no hope or something like that. But he was this genius songwriter and entertainer, right? And that's what he says. I'm a singer, I'm a songwriter, and I'm an entertainer. That's how he called himself. And that's really what he is, right? He's looking at his chart, deeply creative, has a lot of emotional energy where he has lows and highs. And I think we can see that in him, but especially in the lows, there's so much creative juice come through. And then another thing that really stood out for me when I was looking at his chart. So I was actually looking at his unconscious south and north node, because we usually, from an astrology perspective, we tend to only look at the conscious, but the unconscious is so much about who you're really being, your physical body and the vehicle that's carrying out your purpose, right? So his south node is in gate 15, which we also call the gate of extremes or compassion. And then the north node, gate 10, is the gate of self-love. And both of these gates are in his undefined G center. And actually, let's talk about the undefined G center first. So I feel that, so for example, in the beginning, he was part of Take That, right? And with an undefined G center, you can easily lose yourself, right? Because who am I, right? And on the other hand, I think then when he became a solo artist, when he was being Robbie Williams and doing his own thing, he so beautifully kind of had the chance to be everything, right? Because with an undefined G center, you can take on different kind of identities and live this out. And it's beautiful, like a chameleon in some way. And usually when we have an undefined center, we have those hanging gates, like he has a hanging gate 15 and hanging gate 10. These are the only ones actually at the center. It sometimes can be a little bit more challenging for us because the center itself is undefined. And it really, we learn of these energies mostly through our experiences, through our interaction with different people. And there's so much variability. It can take us a little bit longer to become wise about these energies and be more on the higher expressions, right? So gate 15 is this energy where we are totally going with the flow of life. And there's sometimes extremes. And I think we saw this with him. There was really big extremes of everything is going amazing and the number one hit in the charts. And then you make one little mistake and everybody is kind of screaming at you and you're the bad guy and all these things, right? And the big thing with this energy is like, we need to be compassionate with ourselves. And I think from what I saw in the documentary, he has really come at a place now where he started to say like, whoa, I started to actually love and accept myself. And that's huge, right? That was such a big moment in that documentary. And then the gate 10 is about that self-love. So through these extreme experiences that he has been through and being compassionate with himself through his own individual experience, both in the one line, he started to move more into a place of loving himself. And also often gate 10 can be related also to addictions, right? And he was struggling with that for a really long time. And so I think that's a very, very beautiful learning lesson or inspiration for all of us, how he through these challenges and then this three-line energy, which can be very trial and error, right? But for him, it's like, hey, nothing is ever a failure. And this applies to all of us, of course. It's just everything is always a learning lesson. And it's also super beautiful that even though, like, at the time when he split with Take That, when he was younger, there was kind of like anger. He didn't like, apparently, I think his name is Gary Barlow. I think he was the main lead singer of Take That at the time. So he kind of was felt like pushed in the corner, and he expressed that too. But then later on, after he took a long break from his solo career, because he got to a point where he had a lot of anxiety, he had some little bit of mental breakdowns. And I think there was one concert where he kind of stopped. And of course, if you're in front of 80,000 people, can you imagine the pressure, the media? Because that pressure was already there. But if you don't perform, if you don't do perfect, and he has a generational theme with his gate 18 in Pluto, it's about getting it perfect, right? Perfectionism and these things. So I can only imagine how challenging that could have been. And then he kind of totally disappeared. And he slowed down. Talking about slowing down, he apparently took, I think, a 3-year break from being Robbie Williams. He was just Rob or Robert, right? His real name. And trying to really find himself and get in tune what he wants to do with his life. And he couldn't continue on, you know, with all this pressure and the drugs and addictions and all these kind of things, right? So he did take a pause and he did slow down. And then apparently he met his now beautiful wife. So now he's married, I think, for 13 years already. They have 4 kids. I mean, it's so beautiful. I was so happy. Like, I knew about it, but I wasn't following like that super closely anymore for the last years. But anytime I was a song on the radio, like, I was like, oh, it's Robbie Williams, let's turn it louder. I just really always enjoy his voice, his music, and the love he puts into everything. You know, it's just his freaking authenticity. And during that time, he met his wife, and I think he then also broke up with her because he had a relapse. And he said, I have to go to rehab. I need to figure this out on my own for now. I cannot have a relationship. And apparently she gave him space to do what he had to do, because she felt like, well, he's my soulmate and now this is not working. What the heck, right? So also for us in terms of relationships, sometimes things don't go the way we think they're supposed to go. But when we can go with the flow of life and we can give another person the space, then something beautiful can come out of it. And then eventually, you know, they got back together and they got married, and like, happy ending kind of story, right? And now he's back, actually. He's touring again. I mean, now also he has this Netflix documentary, which I'm so happy he did that. And he had the support with that, because I'm sure there's still a lot of people out there that mainly focus on the negative, right? And I think this is something in general for us humans, because I think celebrities get the biggest of that, that always, okay, what's sensational? What are they doing? What is getting people's attention? Because we humans, we are drawn to negativity. That's where we look the most. Whereas drama, that's why the news are full of negative stuff, because that's sensational. That's where we like pay attention to. It's like when you're on the highway, if there's a traffic jam, I mean, or if there's an accident, there will be a traffic jam because everybody wants to look, right? But if there's a beautiful rainbow, vroom, vroom, cars are just like, nobody really pays much attention to that, right? So that's why the media is just full of this negativity. And we are so easily focused on the 5% that's seemingly negative. But then, you know, we don't see all the beautiful things that are there. And that's why I think it's so beautiful that the documentary came out with all of that. And he also is a highly sensitive person, right? He has 4 centers defined. He has undefined head center, G center, sacral center, spleen, and a completely open will center. And it's actually interesting, in the beginning of the documentary, he was like, oh, I'm a hermit. And I was like, well, he must be 2-line, right? But then he's a 1-3. The 1-3 is also very, very more introverted energy, but of course also with this playfulness and the extroverted side at the same time of the three line. But the one line is very much to itself, right? And the one line has a big fear of, in the shadow of inadequacy, right? Of not being good enough. And I think he went probably through a lot of this, especially when he put out a song and nobody liked it. He always questioned his inadequacy that he felt, right? But I think he has learned over time that he's just perfect the way he is and he's totally enough. And then his core wound, so the unconscious Mars in the human design chart, or you can see this in the gene keys, we call this the core wound or the vocation, is that gate 42. So, or gene key. So this is all about, in human design, we talk more about bringing things to completion, finishing things. And I mean, I think he had those things, right? It was take that came to completion. Then it was like his solo career came to completion and he took a break and then it started again, right? And over the time, everything like comes together. And one of the really, really big things with the gate 42, which I think also can feed in with those strong desires from the 30, gate 30 energy that he has so much in his chart, plus the gate 41, which is also his culture, which is about a fantasy and having these big dreams and always, you know, going for the next thing and the pressure from the root. The gate 42 is it, when we're in the shadow, we have these big expectations, right? Oh, this is going to be a hit. This is going to be amazing. People are going to love it. And then it's not. That really crushes you down to the core. So, but then over time, you learn to just be detached, right? Just do something for the love of it and not to, you know, force anything with that. Then also know when things are naturally coming to completion, right? And that doesn't mean it's going to be done forever. Like with Take That, eventually he went back and they actually recorded something again. It was really interesting because he at the time had the option apparently to do like a solo tour just by himself. And I think his manager was telling him, well, this is how much money you're going to make if you go by yourself. And it was like super a lot of money. And this is how much you're going to make if you are going to be doing another tour with Take That, right? And this was after he had taken, I think, the long break. And he still had a lot of anxiety actually to get back on stage because the last time he was, he had to leave the stage and it was really hard for him. And so he decided to do what brought him the most joy, what felt exciting. And he has also gate 14, right? Gate 14 is in his, that's his radiance. So this is what keeps him healthy. That's what keeps him radiant and alive. And it's all about doing things that light you up, right? That bring you joy. And also like a lot of creativity. So he decided, even though the money was way less, I'm going to go with Take That. And it was such a healing experience for him apparently, because he realized that he loved all of the other four guys. They loved him. You know, they had all become much more mature. And he also was able to go back on stage without having everybody just look at him, right? Now there were the five of them. I think there were four or five. And that really helped him get his confidence back to actually be on stage. And then eventually he went back by himself, right? But it's like, we can maybe sometimes think like, oh, it's a step back, or, you know, and we feel like we have to prove ourselves to something or always go for what makes the most amount of money. But he chose what lights him up. And this is really what we talk about. And I mean, look, he's a projector. He's not even a generator, a manifesting generator, but this is for all of us. All these energies from the sacral center, and he has several ones, right? The 14, 29, 42, and gate 9. It's all about do what lights you up. This applies to all of us. What brings you joy? And from that, so much more prosperity comes to us, right? And yeah, then that helped him and propelled him really back to continue doing what he loves and enjoys, which is, again, I'm a songwriter, singer, and a born entertainer, right? So, and then also I watched, actually, after I finished the documentary, I went onto YouTube and I was looking for, some concert snippets or something. And there was one actually that somebody recorded a full concert in Germany, Hannover, in 2013. And it was so beautiful because he, of course, he always starts with "Let me entertain you," and he finishes up with "Angels." And there were several times where he connected with the audience. And this is in also the Gate 30. Like, he's actually here to bring sweetness to people and understand the feelings of other people, right? And he's highly, highly empathic, I find. And you may say, oh, he has a defined solar plexus, but also all the other open, the undefined G center, completely open will center. I always find people with that are highly, highly empathic. And he's there to entertain people, to make them feel amazing. And also, he brings people on stage and makes them feel amazing, makes them feel seen, and all of it. I mean, it was such a beautiful act of love. And really, that's all we, all of us humans want. We want to be loved, right? And I think he just, yeah, he shows this to all of us that all that really is about happiness is love, is having love for ourselves and acceptance, and also loving other people and sharing this with others, right? So, yeah. And then also, I mean, I was talking the hermit. I mean, he does have a lot of two lines and other gates. For example, his attraction sphere and the gene keys, which is the unconscious moon in the human design chart, is the 47.2. So a lot of what he attracts, it has a lot of this hermit energy with that, right? And he's a more like an introverted kind of person. It's a lot about him and his own experience that is very, very typical to the 1-3. And yeah, he's quite a genius, being his most authentic self. And I really love that. And another thing that I want to finish up with. So in the end of the documentary, he was like, no, life is good. I really enjoy it. And, but often he actually mentioned he had this big fear of like, well, what if this is going to happen again? Right. And so he has Gate 44 on his unconscious Mercury. So Gate 44 is that fear of the past repeating itself. And there were several times in the documentary where I could sense that. And I have that gate myself, so I can also highly, highly relate to that. And I think it's really good that he expressed that. He was being honest with himself, right? So again, learning lesson for us to, when we have a fear, yeah, express it, talk it out. It's not, but don't shovel it down, because then it's much more likely it's gonna reoccur like that. And sometimes we have to go through things several times to become even more wise about it, and to actually, we have to face those fears, right? Because he could have like, I'm not gonna do the take that again because it didn't work out in the past, but he followed his joy. He followed like, oh, this excites me, right? And then the final thing that I took away from what he was sharing is that he was now like, well, that he finally stopped resisting his life. And he was finally ready, like, to fully surrender into his purpose, which apparently his purpose is to be, right? Like a rock star, like a born entertainer, be on stages. And it's not the normal lifestyle we think we grow up with. And this is not meant for all of us, right? Obviously, that was totally for him. And let's think about it. If he would have been super like school smart and, like studying and going to college and all these things, if that would have come easy to him, he probably would have never done that. But because the other stuff was kind of not an option for him, he went for the one thing that just was there, and he was good at it, and it was fun for him. And this is for all of us. There's a reason why there's certain things that are easy for you, right? Even though if you're going to ruffle some feathers with that, or people are not going to like it, or they think it's crazy, or you should do something else, the thing that is deep inside of you and then wants to come out, we have to follow that, because otherwise life gets unnecessarily hard. And he was kind of saying that he was kind of resisting that and fighting that. But now he finally is surrendered into that and accepting of that this is his life. And now his biggest mission is to just fully enjoy that. The money he has, the fame, and connecting with such big audiences. And I mean, I can only imagine it's quite ecstasy. when you're on stage with so many people, right? And they are actually like, they're singing your lyrics that you once downloaded and put out into the world. I mean, that must be incredible. I've only been on the other side in the audience, and I mean, it gives you goosebumps all over. So it's this like, you surrender into your unique purpose. And I think the less we fight, the less we force, the more we do what just feels naturally good to us. And again, this doesn't mean it's always easy. There will be trial and error, the ups and downs in life. But if you keep that focus of that big vision that you have in your heart, then we have the birthright, right, to have the most blessed and fulfilled life. And what I find super interesting, and okay, now one more final thing. So his split gate is the gate 22. So anytime we have a split gate, that basically means that the energy flow of the centers that are connected is kind of interrupted. And that's usually where we also can get really conditioned. That may be a big challenge for us. And gate 22 is also highly emotional energy. But in the highest expression, it's about grace and surrender. Like, we fully surrender to life and our unique path, and we trust we are always abundantly supported, right? With money, with the right kind of people. And I think also his wife played a really big part, that he finally allowed himself to lean on somebody, to be loved, to be seen for just who he was, right? And he didn't have to be anybody else. So I think that could be a whole nother episode just about the love story. But anyways, this was super inspiring for myself. I felt really called to just respond to this and share my reflections on this. And it is my hope that you also take a little bit of inspiration from this. And I understand, like, if you are from the US, you may not even know much about Robbie Williams. But if you're in Germany or from the UK, you're going to be like, oh my God, Robbie Williams, right? So I'm very thankful for his contribution to the world, for the amazing music, and especially the heart and authenticity that he's bringing into the world. And yeah, I just love that. I want to say thank you to him. And thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. This was like a little reading for all of you guys, and I'm excited to be with you all on the next episode. Thank you for listening to this episode. And if you enjoyed what you heard today, then please subscribe, rate, and leave a review on iTunes. And if you also know someone that you know in your heart could benefit from listening to this podcast, then I invite you to please share and help me reach more conscious leaders so we together can create global impact. I truly appreciate you, and see you next time.